We'd like to thank our sponsors, A&H Provisions. For all of your kosher delicatessen needs, go to kosherdogs.net and 30% off of your first order with promo code MODI. Also, Whites and Luxembourg, the law firm that not only does well, they do good. Whitesandlux.com.
Welcome to Andy's Modi.
And welcome back to part two of what we call, what's your title for this going to be?
And Here's Modi.
No, but and Here's Modi is the name of the podcast, but you always find some creative.
I have to think about it. It hasn't come yet.
Okay. We are in the studio with Louis.
Al-Sharif.
And Dan
Pfefferman.
Dan Pfefferman. With part two, we've been going at it in the most loving way, discussing Quran, Rambam, and the Torah, and the work you guys are doing to change people's view of... Wow, I'm babbling like an idiot. I hate when I what a putz. I should shoot myself right in the
face.
We're
working to build peace around the Abraham Accord.
Exactly, thank you.
The region is going to be better when people talk to each other.
Exactly.
Sit around a table.
And if you want to see a model for that,
yes,
you have to go to the UAE.
Can I share something?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a Middle East affairs expert. That's my profession before all this. I flew to the UAE right when the Abraham Accords were announced. And I should have known better. Because everyone told me it's tolerance. But, you know, we have in our heads what an Arab country looks like. And it is truly the most multicultural. I couldn't imagine an Arab Muslim country where you hear the call to prayer five times a day. And when you see women dressed in the full thing, to be so respectful of every religion or people who don't want to be religious, women's rights, anything you want. People want. I wear a kippah. I usually wear a kippah. Not here in New York. I usually wear a kippah. And when I walk around the streets of the UAE in my kippah, speaking Hebrew, eating at kosher restaurants, so respectful.
Really?
There's a model for coexistence there.
I have to tell you one thing, adding to what Dan said. Name me one Arab Muslim country that allowed Jews freely to celebrate Purim a week ago.
Wow.
Name me one.
I don't know.
Name me one.
I don't.
You will
don't
never be able
names.
To name one. The UAE, the Jewish, our dear beloved Jewish community celebrated the Purim in Rambam synagogue within the Abrahamic family house.
Wow.
It's new.
That's a big new wow. Synagogue. Of
that's
course.
A big wow.
It's a deserved wow. And it's after October 7th. No one said, oh, we should hide, we should do this. And but not only the Jewish community, also the Christians and also the Hindus. A big Hindu temple was inaugurated in the UAE. So the mentality of the leaders there is Islam has to be moderate, progressive. And this is why Islamists hate the UAE to the bone.
It's true.
Really?
It's true.
Of course. Because they see a model of Islam that is progressive, that is successful.
And inclusive.
It's and so inclusive.
Inclusive.
My friends that went to the UAE and they came back, it's the Orthodox, Brian was telling me, I can't believe how well manicured the men's beards are.
Can I tell you a secret?
No.
They laser it.
They
laser the beard lines, right?
Modi, I'm walking around this mall. I'm walking around this mall, and these men are trimmed and primped and the eyebrows and the everything is that a thing?
Yeah,
that's a thing.
They're very well manicured there.
Wow, well, good.
But living there also is a blessing. Baruch Hashem, thank God, it's like the most beautiful country. Not only in the Gulf, to be very honest, I lived in the U.S. I studied here, by the way, in the U.S. The proud Nittany Lion. I lived in State College. I also lived in different areas of the world. The UAE is, when you live there, you don't want to leave.
Really?
It's amazingly beautiful.
Amen.
Financially, religious freedom, what you can do, and also the sense of security. And the way how the people are in big trust to the leadership is something very important. So it's a monarchy, and people follow the leader, and the leaders of the UAE want to take the country to the brighter version of the Middle East. Mm. We don't have one Middle East. We have two Middle Easts. We have a Middle East that wants to thrive, prosper, invest in AI, high tech, invest in the future, creates the future, and a Middle East that wants to drag us into war and chaos and anarchy. Yeah. Which Middle East would you choose?
That's what October 7th showed us.
Which Middle East would you choose?
So we when we reflect this message, by the way, on our speaking tour, audiences get that.
Yeah.
Because they're told the Hamas lies. And by the way, I want to argue about one point. We meet a lot of American Muslims, and I believe that they are overwhelmingly moderate. They just been brainwashed on Israel because they have no clue. They believe the Hamas lie that October 7th would resistance against occupation. I explained to them, Israel left in 2005. Like,
right.
But we had no idea, right? They just don't know.
October 8th, I always keep saying this, October 8th, everybody became a Middle East expert. Everybody, all of a sudden, the Ottoman Empire, the Balfour Declaration, the English Mandate, everybody all of a sudden became a professor
of geopolitics.
Everybody started quoting. No one knows a thing. I know I don't know anything, but I admit I don't know anything. I'm open to learning. Teach me. I Nasiv and Nilmod. I'm ready to learn. But people all just are so. And then we see it with the gay pro-Palestinians.
Oh my God.
They have no idea what they... Again, I always say my favorite videos are the ones with the Palestinians yelling at the gays to go away from the protests.
It's a crazy world we live in.
But there's a hope. There's hope. Seeing you guys, it brings hope into it.
And I'm very optimistic when this war ends, inshallah, that there will be a true, genuine peace in the region. Because I believe the world, the leaders of the Middle East, and the intellectual people, they realize that what's happening cannot go on for and what Hamas did on October 7th, it's hijacked the political decision of all the Arab countries, and started a war that no one wanted. And then why don't you stand with us? You went into a war, and that you are, and now you are desperately asking for a ceasefire, and then what we can do is
why'd you start in the first place?
I know for sure that this war wanted to prevent other peace treaties with Israel.
There was a coming deal with Saudi Arabia,
I've heard that.
That's
I've
what they
that.
Wanted to tank.
Yeah,
they wanted to tank.
So
that.
I don't know if you can answer this question, but I am curious of what you think. Is there pressure on Hamas to end this, like from in the region? Like, what do you see as the way out of here?
Behind the scenes,
is anybody say? First of all, a big question that has been coming up is anybody really able to communicate with the head of Hamas?
Qatar.
Qatar is.
They are 30 meters. You know what that is? Underground.
I actually don't. I can't convert the math.
I can't do it either, but it sounds so dramatic. It's so dramatic. Anything with meters sounds so dramatic.
It just sounds really...
They're 5 meters away. Meters.
Five basketball.
Not meters.
Right.
But they're 30 meters
How
below
far
ground.
Is 30 meters?
Meters a yard.
A yard, yeah.
So there are negotiations
Is someone communicating with him?
There are negotiations happening between the Egyptian side and also the Qatari side. Also, I want to...
You like how he pronounces that?
Amazing.
I want to reflect one important thing that Qatar has great relationship with the rest of the GCC countries. And especially that Al-Ula agreement happened in 2021. So the problem with Qatar in 2017 was resolved. And Qatar said it that it has Hamas leaders on its soils to communicate, to facilitate the communication with Hamas in order to reach a better deal for the hostages. And I believe the problem is not in the communication with Hamas. I believe the problem is with Hamas itself. Sinwar wants to sacrifice the last Palestinian child until he destroys... Look at what he did. Okay.
No.
Let me ask you one thing.
Sinwar and the Iranians.
Let me ask you one thing.
Of course, the Iranians.
They're behind this.
If I am a responsible leader, okay, let's say I'm a responsible leader, I decided to go into this crazy war. Let's just say. And now I see the chaos happening.
Right.
I would, if I was responsible and care for the rest of my people, I would, let's stop the war, lay down the arms, and right. let's find if you are a responsible reader, right. of course, but these people are not responsible.
It's not. It's a different war. So I've told the story before, but you know, my father was telling me his war stories. My father was in three wars in Israel. In the Six-Day War, he was telling me that he was in a battalion that was these half trucks, half tank. It was three or four of them, and he was the driver of the front one, and the officer was there. They see a similar battalion of, I think it was Jordanians.
Mm.
Okay. And they see each other with the binoculars and this and that. My father is driving the front truck tank. And my father just, without any instructions from the captain or whatever, just makes a hard left and drives that way. They make their hard left and drive the other way.
Mm.
It was a battalion of reservists.
Mm.
These are men that have children, businesses, houses, all back in Israel, back in Jordan. They're not looking to fight and kill each other. Now they were in a uniform. Israel, Jordan. It was something substantial. And it just at the moment, they decided there's no need. We're just shooting each other now. I gotta get home. I have a wife and kid. My father had two daughters, a business he just opened up, and a house he just bought. What's he starting a war here? So he went. They went, and because it was governments that started that war. It wasn't now they came in there on ecstasy, whatever they flew in there. They're on a different mission. They are meth. They are ready to rock and roll and scream and shoot and kill.
But that's the difference between the war with
Jordan. That's the difference between the wars.
Jordan didn't want to get into the 67 war. They were pressured by the Egyptians and the Syrians. And Jordan was like, okay, we have to get into this war. That's why they were never really invested in that war.
And no one wants to go into war with Israel now. If you read the geopolitics, even Egypt, by the way, the 1977 peace agreement with Israel had some sort of restrictions on the Egyptian army in Sinai. But when Egypt had to fight extremists in Sinai, it took the permission of Israel.
It had to.
The coordination with Israel, and Israel allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
So even President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, when he talked about Israel, he talked positively that these people are very reasonable people. You can easily understand. You can have an understanding with them.
The government,
according to the peace agreement, we should never be there.
The governments want to see
No military presence should be in Sinai. But we talked with them with reason that we have to go after extremists, and it was approved. Egypt doesn't want to have war with Israel. I believe also the Jordanians are very reasonable. They don't want to have war with Israel. Everyone wants. I told you the thriving and prosperous Middle East.
Right, there's two Middle Easts. The two Middle Easts. That's the name of your title of this thing, the two Middle Easts.
The two Middle Easts, by the way, the two Middle Easts was a video that was released 2 days ago by the head of the Sky News Arabia. His name is Nadeem Quteish. And that video went viral and made Islamists and pro-Hamas activists go crazy. I want you to
In a bad way.
They want this to be the whole narrative. There's one Middle East and it's right. That's what they want people to
but
think.
I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive. But when you say, you know, this, the majority of Muslims don't think what you think, I have a hard time believing that. In the same way that I have a hard time believing that the majority of Israelis, and I think the majority of Muslims, want peace. It's just that the extreme voice and the horrible things that you hear, even, and I think it's disgusting, by the way, what they say about Palestinians and that they group everyone together, that I think that those voices are louder.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah.
I agree, but the majority of Muslims want peace, that's for sure. But the majority of Muslims are not thinking positively about Israel.
Oh, they don't accept Israel.
Because of education. We know.
Okay, so that's the other thing. Don't brainwash children.
Education.
Yes.
This is why I'm telling you social media, education through social media is very important.
Yes.
And when you said that, when you went to France and you said, I control the media, I'm a Jew, I'm going to control this.
They believe that. They really believe that, unironically.
The 18-year-old Louis believed in that because one of the books that really influenced my childhood was The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. I have the copy from Egypt. And it says on the first page, this is the book that the Jews don't want you to read. Mm. Have you heard about it? The Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
You never heard this book?
The Protocols of the...
Yeah, the Protocols.
The Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
This is the book that... A
fictitious book.
The Russian Tsar secret police put this out in the 1800s.
I'm so surprised you haven't heard of it.
Hate against the Jewish people.
I'm not that smart. I'm not a big intellectual. I tell jokes on a stage. I'm not a professor. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not. I have a podcast, but
when you said I control the, because this is what the book says
as a joke, the Jews, in comedy.
That's the irony. The book says this,
right?
So this was a book written by the secret police of Tsarist Russia to inspire hatred against Jews, to stoke anti-Semitism.
Okay.
And around the world today, white supremacists and Islamists read it believing it's real and true, and this is the plan of the Jews to control the world.
And it says the same thing you're making fun of. The Jews want to control the media. Yeah. The Jews control the money. The Jews control the world. The Jews control the politics.
The weather. Yeah.
Not yet.
But the end of that joke is, so be nice to us. That's how the joke ends. So work with us. What are you shooting us for? What's wrong with you?
No, that book says avoid. This is why you should avoid them. Yeah. This way.
In the Middle East, they breed it. They believe it still.
You know, there was an Egyptian TV show called Faris Bila Jawad, a horse, a knight without a horse. It revolved around this book.
Really?
And it was published 2002. It was one of my, I'm sorry to say this, I don't mean to offend, it was one of my best shows. Because you say, oh, this is the Jews, evil one. God was right when you said the fierce enemies of the believers.
Well, today we have Curb Your Enthusiasm. And it shows with humor, though. I'm not the biggest fan of the show, but the whole world loves it. And it's showing you Jews kvetching and trying to get an extra egg on their omelet or whatever he does in every episode with a joke and a punchline, and which is great. But the whole world looks at Larry David and think this is what a Jew is.
Yeah.
You know, this is what it's not. They don't see a guy like this with muscles and this. That to him, Larry David is, that's what a Jew looks like, and they're okay with it.
And you know what I think when I heard this, when I started to do the Inner Battle in 2010, with a Jewish family, when I lived with them, and I tried to, and I reconciled, I told myself, if 15 million Jews would take over 1.5 billion Muslims, chapeau. I would raise the hat. You're saying that 15 million are controlling 1.5 billion? Where are the 1.5 billion then? 15 million Jews are taking over the world? What the 1.5 billion Muslims are doing then? Shows weakness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there are racist tropes and stereotypes for everyone.
But please,
right?
Get your copy.
Well, maybe
of the protocols of the no, I'm serious.
I'm gonna get it.
I'm really more interested
between looking
in
your name up and getting this book. The FBI is gonna show up at my door. The FBI is not. Hello.
I really want some English subtitles on your Knight Without a Horse.
Yeah.
Show that. Oh,
these Egyptian shows are ridiculous.
A knight is like a knight, like a K.
Yeah, I figured that out.
A knight without a horse. You can look it up. And by the way, Israel at that time filed a complaint against the Egyptian TV authority because it was so anti-Semitic.
Yeah, listen, this
stuff
that
made
really...
it so popular. Ah, this is why even the Jews don't like it. Because
listen, this stuff is really dangerous. I mean, see when Hamas took over the education system of Gaza.
From preschool.
In 2005.
Elon had that book.
Yes, you
can see
the books. It's horrible. They have Hamas Barney.
What I don't understand is, you know...
They do.
It's like a funny-looking dinosaur.
Yes, yeah, I've watched it.
Yeah. And the mouse. They have like a Mickey Mouse copycat also.
And the Mickey Mouse copycat was inciting to kill the Jews. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was on a TV called Al-Aqsa TV.
It's horrible.
If Egypt and these countries started putting out positive shows showing Jews and Israelis in a normal light, imagine what that would do in
that
a generation.
That's
incredible.
Hold on.
I know.
I'll be very honest. That's what Sadat wanted to do.
Yes.
A person or a leader who went into war
phones around
with Israel and then had peace with Israel, realized how peace is so important.
Yeah.
And he was so honest. He made a joke with Golda Meir when he met her, when he gifted her a gift, and she gifted him back. And Golda Meir said, Sadat is the only leader who's calling me the old lady, and I'm calling him a father. And they did jokes. Sadat was so sincere in doing this to Egypt. And this is why he paid his price.
Yeah.
That's right.
He paid a price for peace. But he was a leader that, to be very honest, preceded his time. He came way before. He came from the future. He had war with Israel.
Yeah.
But he understood that he could never take Sinai with war. He took Sinai with negotiations.
Negotiations, yeah.
But he was so serious. He never missed opportunities to miss opportunities. He took the first opportunity, flew to the U.S., met with Carter, did so many rounds, and guess what? He took what he wanted. But he was so serious in negotiations.
What Jews would do for peace is unbelievable.
Look what I do.
What they would give. They gave away Gush Katif. We gave away so many anything in hopes of peace. But that's changing now. It's changing now. The Jews are like, no. If this is what the situation is, it's it.
You know,
I always keep mentioning this too. Now, you know, the expression "never again." Everybody's saying
it's now again,
but we forget too fast. We do forget too fast.
Never again means never again doesn't mean we're not going to have a Holocaust. We're not going to have people attacking us. That's going to be always. The never again is. You're going to feel the repercussions of it. You attacked Israel. You do not have Gaza anymore. It is one big parking lot. You lost whatever you had. You lost it. You're against the Jews. You speak against whatever, the Harvard and MIT and that. They lost their jobs. It's the never again is that we are not the Jews of 1930. We, the Jews in America, are buying cannons. There is a phenomenon. They're all buying guns and they're arming themselves and they're preparing.
They see the writing on the wall.
And that's the never again.
It's terrifying here.
That's that you will feel it. You will feel it.
But you will survive it because the Jews survived Pharaoh, Ahasuerus, the Seleucids, Nazi Germany. And now Hamas, inshallah.
You left out Haman. You left out
Haman, Ahasuerus.
Amalek.
No, Ahasuerus is Haman. Ahasuerus is Haman.
Okay, yeah. You left it all there. They're all, yeah. And you know, and on the, we survived that.
But I meant those who wanted to exterminate, because the Seleucids wanted to exterminate. Haman wanted to exterminate. Yeah. Pharaoh wanted to exterminate. Nazi Germany wanted to exterminate.
You forgot a big one. We survived Ashkenazi food.
Ashkenazi food?
Yeah, it's bad.
I'll do the jokes on the podcast. Do me a favor.
Please.
Do me a favor here.
Food, what? I had to.
But you're Ashkenazi.
Half. My kitchen's very Sephardi.
All right.
He said Iraqi, aren't you?
Iraqi. They cook with dynamite. Oh my God. My sister was married to him. They sit there with garlic and they're chopping it.
That's good.
Oh my God, it burns your face off. You know, it's delicious. You don't have anything. There's no senses in your mouth anymore.
We visited his family, by the way, 2 days ago in Indianapolis. Amazing people. And his mother is very informative on the Torah. I enjoy religious studies or religious, how to say this, dialogues, because I believe for people who are searching for God would engage in these kind of. So I had good time with his mother.
No, I am telling you, I'm learning the Quran through radicals. I'm learning what is written in there. I understand that their interpretation is insane.
Yes, it's insane.
But today I learned that jihad is your inner war.
What? There are reformers. They just don't use that terminology yet. But there are.
Moderate voices need to be louder.
Speak up.
Yes.
This is why I said in one of the interviews, I said, We don't have really two groups of Muslims. We have three: radicals, moderate Muslims, and brave moderate Muslims.
Yes,
you should have people who speak up, and trust me, you should not only listen to people from the region. Dan is from the region, but I mean, like, he's an Israeli Jew. You know, he has to defend Israel, but take it from people from the region, and from people who are recovered from that ideology.
Recovered, yeah.
Listen,
yes.
I have a very close girlfriend who is Muslim Egyptian, and she grew up here. Her mother grew up in Egypt. And what she says is very similar to what you say, because people who have an actual understanding can take this position because they know how dangerous extremism is on both sides.
So I want to. So one thing we picked up between the two podcasts is that jihad could be interpreted as in your own inner battle,
the inner struggle,
inner struggle. Give us one more. Dvar Torah, one more something like that we don't understand about the Quran.
Like, for example, also like I told you about Islam and the way of submission, but I also told you about, for example, the word mujahid is the one who does the jihad.
Right.
So he should be someone who would never target women and children and the elderly. And there's a companion by the Prophet. His name is Abu Bakr, the first caliph, who, when he sent leaders to have jihad, he told them never attack women, children, and never attack churches, synagogues. But that doesn't exist. So it's good on the table. It's good in books, but the actions don't really reflect what's written.
So they found a way so the extremists found a way to take that
and do absolutely the opposite. I met people, Christians who fled Iraq in 2015, and now they are living in the UAE. Mm. And they told me when ISIS came to Mosul, they put a big sign in our houses, Noon. Noon, it's the first letter from the word Nasara, Notsrim, like Christians.
Yes.
Wow.
So that when people come, shame on you, you are a Christian. So that they know that they would be ashamed. That is not in Islam. But of course, there are texts that would give these people an excuse to do so.
Right.
I'm being very honest and blunt.
Yeah.
I don't mean to speak wrong about my religion, because I love my religion, but I have to say that there are things that need to be reformed. I don't like Muslims who hide these facts from people like you or from the West and say, no, we don't have any problem. Then what are the bases? What is the basis that these people are committing their atrocities come from? You have to be very honest in saying that Islam has to go through a reform just like any other religion.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you, there is a reform. The UAE is doing this.
Thank God.
Baruch Hashem.
Do you think Saudi Arabia is on that same path?
Yes, I agree. I totally believe so. They are doing it silently.
You know, and it's wonderful when you see it. I was at a bar mitzvah of my friends Stephen and David. I can't believe 13 years ago they had a child. They had their kid with a surrogate and this and all that stuff that goes into having a child. They had two, and they had a bar mitzvah, and that bar mitzvah was in a Chabad house. There's a Chabad is one of the, you know, Chabad, and the rabbi was unbelievable, and the rabbi was so sweet, and that's their community. They go there every Shabbat, and they are friends with the rabbi, and they're friends with his wife, and they treat them like. They treat them like love your neighbor as yourself. They treat them the way they would want their kids to be treated wherever they go. And this is ultra religious. This is Chabad. But they understand that this is a Jewish soul. You don't tell them you can't come in. Invite them. This is a soul that can reveal Mashiach energy. And so could this podcast. And again, I want to thank you guys for coming into this and staying for an extra session. And for this end of podcast, how do they reach you?
Online, Facebook, if anyone still uses that.
No, but give them how.
How?
Sharaka,
SHARAKANGO.
Dot NGO?
NGO. Sharaka NGO, one word.
.com.
That's the website. Okay. And then, of course, go to any of our social media accounts. And you can reach out to us.
Okay, and we'll, of course, post. And?
And go to Instagram, El Al Sharif. That's spell Lima Alpha.
Spell it out.
Lima Alpha, Lima. Lima. Sierra.
Oh, he's landing airplanes. Runway 5. Lima Alpha.
Lima Alpha, Lima, Sierra Hotel, Sierra. What? What? That's right.
LOALSHAREE.
That's all you.
Echo, Echo, Foxtrot.
Okay.
Foxtrot.
Foxtrot.
That's the alphanumeric use in ADC.
I know, but
I do lots of flight simulators.
No one does that. It's so funny.
I do lots of flight simulators.
It's hilarious. Okay.
I'm at Perry L on Instagram.
Yeah.
Type in my first name, you'll find me.
Exactly. ModiLive.com for shows near you. Find a show near you. We're going to be announcing a lot. And always, as I say, be the friend that brings the friends to the comedy show. I've been giving, calling people out in the audiences lately. You see, like, one person brings 10 people.
Mm.
That's Mashiach energy. Not just mine. Any comic you see coming into your area, buy 6, 10 tickets. By the time the comic gets there, you'll see your friends are looking for tickets, and those that really need a laugh will be there, and you'll see it's you creating Mashiach energy. ModiLive.com and shows everywhere. Anything else? The special. Oh, my
yes.
God. The special. Wow.
Like, huge news. We didn't even mention it.
Wow.
What happens in the past couple of weeks, Modi?
What happened the last couple of weeks? Well, first of all, we had two episodes with these amazing, amazing Mashiach energy-driven people that I completely forgot. My special is out. I can't believe this is happening. Leo is going to kill me. My special is out. It's available on Amazon.
Prime Video,
and it's available on ModiLive.com as well.
What's it called?
It's called Know Your Audience. I can't. This is happening. We're gonna have to do. And we got. That's it. Mashiach energy. This is what happened. We got into this, and we have another guest coming on this episode. My special is out. Everybody, share it with everybody. It's Prime.
Prime Video. On Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime and on ModiLive.com. It'll bring you to where you can download it. And it's been getting such great feedback. Especially if you have a parent, a grandparent that can't get to a show. Set them up. As millennials, as Gen Z, your function in life is to help older people with technology. Make sure that your family and your friends get to watch this amazing comedy special. I'm so proud of it. The work we did, me and Leo, and an 800-pound gorilla, our partner in this.
I've gotten so many messages from people telling me that they've watched it.
It's been great.
I'm like, I don't know what you want, but probably because they can't get through to you.
Yeah,
you do shows in Israel.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, we'll be announcing soon. We're closing some dates in Israel soon. Thank you very much. Thank you to Weitz and Luxembourg, the law firm that is our friends. Period. Arthur, Perry, this is a friend of the podcast, the law firm that not only does. They do good, very philanthropic, and help us get the message out. Thank you all for listening and be in touch. Oh.
Well, okay. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
And
I want to put Danielle on before we go. And then, yeah.
When can we have the video? Because I want to do snippets on it on my Instagram.
I will.
And can I collaborate, of course?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me pop, the
special guest I have.
Okay.
And I'm going to do with her, and then you just pop this at the end.
Yeah, or...
Can we get a picture together before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, let's get her on. Can you guys hang out for 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, hang out for 10 minutes, give her the seat, and then we'll do some pictures and stuff at the end. Okay. Okay. Bring the hat since it's hold on, I have yarmulkes.
Okay, can I?
Do yarmulkes.
Daniela,
how
are you?
Hi, thank you so much,
Daniela.
I
brought you coffee. You didn't
even drink it. It took all my willpower not to like jump in. No,
sit.
There you go.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can stay. Hang out. Just
we're
going to do 10 minutes.
With Danielle. Hi.
Nice to meet you,
are we still rolling? Okay.
Okay, so you just...
We have...
To the mic. Put the mic in front of you.
Would you rather sit back there? Where's the best place for her to sit? You can... Yeah, they have a bathroom key if you need. Let me see what she looks. Okay.
Don't tell them.
Don't tell them.
They can just
let them go. Yeah.
Do you have another show after this?
Is this better?
At 2:30? So... Can we maybe extend for...
I have a thing at 2:30 after the beer.
Oh, okay.
Then okay, but let's... I want
to... I don't know. We might have to do this just as a clip. We're not...
Yeah, it's a clip.
Oh, separately.
You can attach it to the other episode. Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
Okay.
We have an extra special guest visiting us today. Danielle. Daniela. What's your... What, Daniela.
Yes. We're doing for a fire.
We have an extra special guest today visiting us, Daniela. What's your last name now?
I haven't changed.
You haven't changed it. Okay. Daniela Kahana. She is a friend of mine for years. When we shot the clip, Changing Hollywood or Chasing Spielberg, when we were just as hostage running around LA looking for Spielberg, she helped make that happen. She's like, we're going to go to LA. We're going to shoot a teaser for the script. It went super viral. People clipped it everywhere. It was so much fun. It was Mashiach energy. And she is, it's just so good to see you. First of all, you look amazing.
Me too.
You look amazing.
Thank you.
You have kids, no?
I have three girls.
Three girls. Can I know her? And look how great she looks. Wow. And your hair looks good and you're good. And you have a passion project now.
Yes, I do.
So she called me up. She said, what's the name of the project?
Atouf.
Atouf.
Which means
he actually pronounces it right.
Atouf.
To rap,
right.
No?
Yeah.
Latouf.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That you know, but
Massive
and Nishma, you couldn't get that one in. Okay. So Atouf. And she says to me, I'm making bags for the talis. Talit. What?
I get a text message from Modi saying, can you reach out to so-and-so? She's coming Daniela. To the studio.
Yeah.
And she's bringing me the tallest bag.
I speak all my things.
The tallest bag.
Is it going to fit through the door?
So she calls me up and she tells me that what was your reason for doing this? Because the tallest...
It was born out of a need, essentially. My husband, who we had been married for probably 7 years at the time, lost his talit bag.
Mm.
And I was like, how do you lose a talit bag? I don't really understand. But
those of you who don't know, talit is the Jewish prayer shawl. And we after you use it, you fold it up and put it into a bag.
But okay. Not like a plastic bag. It's like a beautiful...
Some
people put it in
You don't have to put it into a bag. But you put it into a bag, okay.
You want to protect it, essentially.
Yes.
So after I got over my annoyance at having that he lost this bag, which I had gifted him on our wedding night, I went looking for a new one. And I couldn't find...
Did he lose the talis too?
Yeah.
Okay, he lost it.
He lost it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And I could not find anything nice. Really, like I scoured the internet, could not find anything.
And I'll bring you back on this again. Okay, so now the talit bag usually is this blue, dark blue bag, and it has the Hebrew name of the man whose bag it is, or maybe the woman now, who knows, embroidered on top. So it says Mordechai ben Bezalel underneath. It'll say in English, Steve or David. And it's usually two lions facing each other or the Ten Commandments. Like it's embroidered. It's like 12 by 12 or maybe
machine
a little bit.
Machine embroidered.
Yeah, machine embroidered. Very.
With a zipper.
Dark. And by the way, one of the funniest stories, I once heard somebody who tell me, somebody from Crown Heights, it was a person who's black, and he used to see all the Jews walking every day to the synagogue with this bag. And he said, that's when they carry all their money with them to the synagogue and back.
It's a great target.
It's a great, no, but they just thought that that's what that was.
Yeah.
Anyway, now on top of this bag, which is the usually blue and this and that, when you get it, you also get a plastic bag that goes on top of it to protect it.
Right.
God forbid this bag should have a spill on it or the sun. Now, most times of my friends that I've discussed your project with, we use the plastic bag as the bag. We've all thrown away our first of all, I told you this on the phone. I travel nonstop. So when I'm grabbing my Talis bag, I need to make sure my sitter's in there, my yarmulke's in there, my reading glasses are in there, my tefillin are in there. And that's four things have to be in there. If I see through it,
X-ray.
I said to her, I'm not your target audience. I'm not your target audience. And then I remembered in synagogue is where I have my Talis bag. All my stuff, my candy, my yarmulkes, my whatever I need in synagogue over there. I said, so you know what? Maybe that should be a nice bag. So now you've
taken. So you have two?
Now you're getting an upgrade.
Yeah,
you have your travel one.
My travel one.
Which is like a Ziploc.
Literally, it's a Ziploc. It's a Ziploc. A little bit thicker, and the zipper's already like completely done. But I'm not the only one. Elon Gold says the same thing. All my friends say they just use the plastic bag. Okay, but now you've taken on yourself.
You're making it very easy for the
X. And there is text in the Torah that you should have beautiful things for your Judaica and this.
My husband also puts on tefillin every day, and he also has this blue velvet bag with like machine embroidered gold. I'm 100% sure it's still from his bar mitzvah.
Yeah. I'm dying to see. Yeah. So she said,
fast forward 7 years, and we just launched, myself and one of my best friends, Maya Cohen, launched a beautiful company to elevate your Judaica. And we started with talit bags, tefillin bags, challah covers, matzah cover afikomen sets, and a havdalah candle. And everything is hand embroidered, handmade.
Wow.
Artisanally made.
I love that.
So can we see?
Yes, we can see. Can see.
Let's see the tallest bag.
The tallest bag. So first of all,
Tell us how it's made and all that.
Yeah. So our tagline: luxury heirlooms enveloped in high vibrations. Very Mashiach.
Wow.
And you have a handwritten note over here. You can read it later. You have an about card, which explains the ethos of the brand and why we are existing and what we hope to bring out into this world. And then you have a really special blessing card that comes along with this bag. So our collection, this is our flagship collection, is derivative of each of the children of Jacob. So in its entirety, it represents the full gamut of the Jewish people and the unity and beautiful diversity of the Jewish people. So when you see the design, every design is basically representative of the blessing that child received from Jacob, from Yaakov.
And so if somebody would like to order this, where can they go?
They can go.
Do you understand how powerful that is? It's all, no.
Not really, but I'm with it. I like the wrapping.
I mean, so you're getting a custom.
The blessing of this.
You're getting a special blessing card that corresponds to Asher.
Oh.
Whose label we wrote as the blessed. Asher was actually in the verse that we read in the Torah about, you know, what Yaakov says to his son. He's actually blessed above all of the other children. Not the greatest parenting, you know, tip, let's say, but he's almost favored in a way.
Yeah.
And so represented by visually the olive tree, because the olive tree is just full of blessings in terms of what it's used for, the sourcing, the richness of it. So, do you want me to read the card or
no? But
okay.
but
you'll read it later.
Yeah,
it's very special.
Okay. And I'm dying to see this. I'm so excited.
Okay, so each of our designs comes.
Wow,
in. Beautiful. Yeah, this is your bag.
The bag it comes in, by the way, is you could use that as a bag on its own.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
How do you figure out who's what though? Like, how do you decide that this one is Jacob or Asher?
Asher. So we, I mean, it's all textual based. It's like a lot of research into what sources we have in the Torah, what the scholars and sages
and whose bag, who the bag is for.
And then obviously, well, when you say who the bag is for, you mean like how do you decide which one to buy, or how do you, how did we
how did you decide that this one is Asher?
Based on the blessing that Asher received. And so the only one that was really challenging, we got, took a little creative license, was Dina. We wanted to be inclusive. And so obviously Dina is the one daughter that's mentioned in the Torah of Yaakov. She didn't receive a blessing. Or at least we didn't know if she, we don't know if she received a blessing because it wasn't recorded in the Torah. And what is known about Dina is unfortunately very challenging, right?
Yes, she had a very difficult, yes.
What happened to Dina?
She was raped.
Can we get back to the This is when you decide to learn Torah. On this episode. On this episode, you decide, I'm going to learn Torah. This is when you're going to do it?
What happened to Dina?
I don't want to talk about that right now.
It's like elementary school.
It's not cute, we but she grew from episode. It. Okay.
But, and there's different ways of reading it. And
For Dina, now there's different ways of reading it.
For Dina, always. We chose, it's interesting. She, like some texts, some, if you read it literally, it's almost like she fell in love with this man who was not approved.
Don't.
By she,
the you've the, We're not going to You go are there. Really whole, with the wrong whole, audience
that
right now.
Already on its face is so problematic.
Could you not let, I want to see this is. Bag.
Okay, but ahead. Anyway, so for Dino, we got creative and we represented it by the universal symbol of the Chamsa. And the Chamsa is one of protection. And so anyway, I digress.
Okay.
Yes.
We might have to do a separate episode for Dina.
Yes, there's a lot to talk about with Dina. Okay, so this is the Asher.
Wow. Look at,
I just got goosebumps.
I got goosebumps. This looks beautiful. May I see?
Yes, and then inside you have your gorgeous tefillin bag, which is,
oh my God.
So I will pass this over to you.
Oh, wow.
First of all, thank you.
Giving you a hug.
Thank you so much. Look at this beautiful Mashiach energy. The fabric is insane.
Hold it up to the camera. For everybody who can't see, there are two bags.
Leah will post a nice picture of this. Look at this beautiful bag. And this is embroidered in what?
Everything's hand embroidered.
But it's got like...
Silk and gold.
Silk and gold. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
And beads.
Wow. And my name, Modi. Unbelievable.
Beautiful.
I can't thank you enough.
My pleasure.
And I wish you the best of, and let the people know where they can get this for themselves, for their.
Yes, you can buy Atouf at our website, Atouf Collective, A-T-O-O-F.
A-T-O-O-F.
Yes, OOF, A-T-O-O-F collective.com.
Okay.
You can follow us on Instagram at atouf.co.
Okay.
A-T-O-O-F, that's F like Foxtrot.
Yes.
F like Foxtrot.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This is going to be a beautiful thing in our synagogue where I'm going to keep all my stuff. And I'm so moved. It's so beautiful. I'm so happy you're doing this.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
In good health, and you should feel more atouf.
Yes, atouf. The bag is super important, but as I always say, the talit has the energy of Ol Makif, surrounding light, when you put that on. And it's something that the wife gives the husband. Leo bought me mine. And it's the energy, you know, you have it. And when you're in a synagogue, you hold your talit, you can almost feel like a hug from your spouse.
Exactly. Leo's okay being the wife in this scenario?
He's my husband. My husband gave it to me.
Oh, you said, maybe okay. I should get Guy one.
You should. Yeah, you should, okay. Yeah. And put good energy into it.
I'm going to have to find someone who has good energy.
Put nagging energy. Okay. Thank you so much for coming. Thank
great
you.
To see you.
Okay. And again, Atouf, atouf collective.
atoufcollective.com. At atouf.co.
Yes. And modilive.com. The special is out. It's on Prime and it's also Amazon Prime and it's also on modilive.com. Know your audience. Find a show near you. Bring some friends. Be the friend that brings the friends to the comedy show. Thank you, Daniela, so much for coming and thank you for this beautiful presence.
I look forward to our next collaboration.
Amen.
Jinjin Hollywood.
Yes.